If you want to fix the problems in the church and in the world, if you want to give people the opportunity to escape this self-destructive method of self-justification, you need to simply proclaim to them, you need to make it clear to them that it's safe to come home.
Pastor Hans Feeney speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That what they are going to find is not the hands of an angry God who sort of smacks them upside the head and says, okay, you were a bad boy, now try again to make yourself pleasing to me. People will always choose the comfort of sin and sorrow over the fear of trying again.
You can listen to Pastor Feeney's teaching, Making the Case for the Centrality of Justification, on a recording from the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conferences. We'll send it to you for a recommended donation of $300 to Issues Etc. Order online at issuesetc.org.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came with wings as swift as snow.
The hymn, The Angel Gabriel, with the angel's announcement to the Virgin Mary that she is going to bear the Christ child, that sets into motion a little group, a very unique group in all of human history, of the Virgin Mary and the child there conceived in her by the Holy Spirit, and the child's guardian and adopted father, Joseph. We have come to know them as the Holy Family. Now, with all of the literature and all of the material out there for Christians on Christian marriage, have you ever noticed how seldom that family, unique as it is mentioned? Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus, the Holy Family. Why is that? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Christmas Eve. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to start part one of a seven-part series on the Holy Family with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton. In the second hour of the program, we'll be looking forward to Christmas Day with Pastor David Peterson. The late Dr. Lewis Brighton was Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and author of the Concordia Commentary on Revelation. I began our 2001 interview with him asking Dr. Brighton why we still need to talk about Christian marriage.
Well, marriage is the center of all life as God originally created it. And when marriage breaks down, as we see it happen today, everything else will break down, including government and education and culture. And so I'm deeply concerned about here in America that we have such a low view of marriage amongst a part or maybe a good part of our population. But if we should continue to treat marriage as we are, more than half the marriages today are ended in divorce. We're going to face a downfall in a nation, and no education can save it, no economic boom can save it, no government. Only marriage can save a culture.
All right. Given that centrality of marriage, how do you view the common approach of Christians to marriage, that really it's just a matter of getting the principles and the rules right? If husbands do things right, say things right, if women know their place, men know their place, according to Scripture, then all will be well. Is that going to solve the problem of marriage? Christians divorce at exactly the same rate, if not a few percentage points higher,
yes,
than non-Christians.
Yes, it's not a matter of following rules. Of course, God does set down rules that we shouldn't commit adultery, we shouldn't lust after another man or woman, but just have our center and attention on our husband and wife. Yes, but it's far greater than that. In fact, that's why I titled this presentation over the next 7 days, six after today, Where's the Holy Family Today? And I would suggest today that the model for every Christian marriage, if not others, but especially Christian marriages, would be the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary.
Now that is, I dare say, a revolutionary idea to many of our listeners. They might say, well, maybe there's Priscilla and Aquila, the few married people we know. Let's go into the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah. And the other marriages that we find there, although then you got to run into the problem of some polygamy and marriages less than perfect. But people tend to gloss over those things, and they find their examples and their principles from those other marriages. Why the Holy Family? Why Mary and the baby Jesus and Joseph the stepfather?
I suppose we could pick other couples like Aquila and Priscilla, but because we know so much about Mary and Joseph, and because of the central role they played in God's plan of saving the human race. And it's through that Holy Family that he did bring about a salvation of the human race, if we would just follow that plan. Of course, the Son is the star, if you will, of the Holy Family, but God could not have brought it about unless there was that woman, whom we know as Mary, Virgin Mary, and then a man to care for her and protect her and nourish her, so that she could carry out the most holy function God ever gave to the human race, Joseph. So that is the central family, actually, in all of Scripture, because it's through that family, that marriage, that God brought about the incarnation of His Son and all that He did through His Son to save the human race.
So we're not only going to be talking about marriage, we're going to be talking about God's overarching plan throughout all of Scripture to save us through Jesus Christ.
Yes, and each Christian marriage, if not others, but each Christian marriage, as it is modeled after the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph and the Holy Child, God can use that Christian marriage also in a similar way that He used the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph, in a different context, yes. But God would use our Christian marriages, husband and wife, as a husband models himself after Joseph and a wife models herself after Mary, that God can use us also to help the human race through the left hand, as Luther would say, that there'd be a more moral life, but also through the right hand to point people to the Holy Family and to then Jesus Christ. And Christmas is coming up. What a more wonderful time to do this.
What about Adam and Eve? A lot of people start there. I suspect that's not a bad starting place, is it?
No, and that's where God created marriage. He created Adam first, and then that Adam could have a helpmate, He created Eve. And the fact that He took a rib, that might seem rather strange, but it took a rib, a part of Adam, and then created Eve around that rib to indicate the close relationship between the husband and wife. And that actually happened, but it's also a metaphorical action, if you will, to indicate to Adam and Eve, you are one, and one flesh, as he said. And that does not refer to sex primarily, though sexual love is a part of that, but to be one in spirit and determination and love and concern under God's plan for life.
You make me think about Adam's, the first marriage ceremony, if you will, when God wakes up Adam out of his deep sleep and brings the woman to him. And his words are, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That's even before he's known her in the biblical sense.
That's right, yes. And they were married before they knew each other. And, of course, that's the way God would have every man and woman. They should not have sex before they're married, because they should commit themselves to each other first, under God's love and concern and blessing. And then once committed themselves and making that public, then they could come together sexually and romantically and so forth.
Now, the story doesn't end there with Adam and Eve. Very shortly after we hear God's great gift of marriage given to them, husband and wife, we hear about them abusing not only that gift, but all the gifts of God by rebelling against God in sin. How has that affected how we talk about marriage now after the fall?
Yes, because sin entered into the world through our first parents, Adam and Eve, and sin affects all of us individually, our families, and every marriage. And the entrance of sin has had a terrible influence on this holy estate. God, you know, marriage is the only thing that God originally planned for the human race. He didn't plan to have government, education, economic situations, because that would have all not been necessary. We would all know and learn and teach each other and help each other, but marriage. But when sin entered the world and really affected marriage, God then had to bring about a negative creation, if you will, government, to control life, so at least we could have a possibility for living. So, but marriage is still the center, and however, sin has affected us tremendously, as we know, as we see it today in America.
Now, I wonder, what is happening when God brings a man and a woman together in marriage? What is actually taking place?
Well, He makes a covenant. with them, or he has them make a covenant with each other. And they make a covenant with each other under the great covenant God has made with us through his Son. Or you could say the original covenant of creation, and then now the redemptive covenant that he's made with the human race through his Son. But the husband and wife, to make a covenant with each other. They promise to care for each other and to serve each other and to help each other and to bring about the most holy thing God has given to the human race to do. You know, when God created life, Adam and Eve, he gave them many blessings. He made them to be stewards over this wonderful home we have, the earth. But within that, the greatest thing that God gave to Adam and Eve to do was to create life, to have a child. And that's still the greatest thing that a man and woman can do to this day.
That is the one command God gives to all of creation, including mankind, creation's steward. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it.
Yeah.
And he gives that command more than once, even after the fall.
Yeah.
You said that one of the greatest blessings of marriage is that a man and a woman would have a child, would continue, procreate. Is that the only purpose of marriage that God has given?
Before I answer that, let me say something else about having a child. The birth of every child is a picture or an indicator of the Holy Child in Bethlehem. In Timothy, you remember, Paul says that wives should submit to the husbands and so forth. And then he says that that they will be saved through childbearing. Well, of course, he doesn't mean that the mere physical action of a child will save the woman for heaven, but rather there's a very mysterious, wonderful connection between the birth of that child, that woman gives birth to the Holy Child. In other words, God is still holding up a woman and each child born to be a type or a reminder of Mary and the Holy Child. Not that the wife and that child can say to him race, but as being an image of that, a picture of that. They can model, as they model that, they can help people to know the Holy Family and the child and Christ's salvation. And that's why abortion is such a horrible sin. The devil couldn't care less about little babies being put to death in the womb. What he's after, he wants to wipe out the only living picture we have of that Holy Child and his mother and Joseph the father. He wants to destroy that. That's why today children are less than what they should be. We sort of tolerate them. That's the impression we get in public life. And if a mother doesn't want the child, he destroys it in the womb. That's horrible, because the devil through that is trying to destroy the last and only picture we have of the Holy Child and the mother and Joseph caring for that mother and child.
I think about the people of the Old Testament, God's people of the Old Testament. They surely expected with every birth the possibility that this might be the child.
Yes. In fact, as Luther comments in his commentary, Eve thought that Cain was that child. That's the child. The Cain means that in Hebrew. That's the child. Now, whether she specifically meant what we put in it, but yes. And in fact, from Qumran, we have the Genesis Apocryphon. That is, it's really a Targum in Aramaic on Genesis, and there's some notes in there. And Noah, Lamech, when he saw the birth of the child of Noah, he said, "This can't be my child. It must be given to my wife by an angel or God." That could indicate that Lamech, according to rabbinical tradition, that must be the child.
We're listening to an interview from 2001 with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton, Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and author of the Concordia Commentary on Revelation. It's part of our series on the Holy Family. And when we come back, is procreation the only role that marriage has?
Well, a human nature is what makes you human and not a dog or a fish or a turtle. Your human nature is what sets your ultimate capacities and determines the kind of thing you are. You don't get a human nature in degrees. You either have it or you don't. There's no degree involved.
Scott Klusendorf speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Well, people today are quite willing to concede that you have a human nature. They're willing to concede I do, but they don't want to concede that embryo is. And here's the question you put to them when they challenge you. How do two human parents create offspring that isn't human, but later become so?
You can listen to Scott Klusendorf's presentation, Making the Case for Life, and all the speakers at our 2018 Making the Case conferences on an audio DVD or flash drive. We'll send it to you for a $300 year-end tax-deductible donation. Look for the link at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's part one of a series we're beginning with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton on the Holy Family. If you have a child, a grandchild, or a godchild home from college for the Christmas break, be sure to tell them about LCMSU. LCMSU connects and supports Lutheran college students with congregations and Lutheran pastors. Learn more at lcms.org/LCMSU. Our conversation with Dr. Brighton continued with the question, is procreation the only role that marriage has?
No, it's a central role because for the sake of the human race. But no, it's not the only role. Rather, that a husband and wife can have a real close companion. And it's so important to have someone that you can lean upon and talk to and receive love from. It's so important, especially that you can have a spiritual companion to help you to remain with Christ. In my own life, my wife has saved my life more than once, and I perhaps hers in a different way. And the older that I become with my wife in marriage, the more I see the spiritual relationship we have, how we are real companion in God to help each other. And that's certainly back in the Garden of Eden, too, that Adam would have a helpmate to help him enjoy life, and he could share life with as he took care of the animals and the earth. And then within that, then the greatest blessing of all to have a child for the sake of the human race.
What if a couple cannot have a child? Scripture is replete with stories of women and men who cannot bear children.
Still, God can still use them in the companionship to each other. And as Luther said, that marriage is the only, as I mentioned before, the child, marriage is the only institution that God can use through experience to help us to see how he loves us in Christ, how he's made us to be his bride in Christ, and Christ is our husband, so to speak. And so a husband and wife, and as they relate to each other, as the husband cares for the wife, like as Paul says in Ephesians, as Christ cares for the church, and the wife nourishes, nestles underneath the husband's care and love as the church under Christ. They can be a picture of that and a model of that, even without having a child.
So we have in marriage a sign, a pointer to the Holy Family and to the center of that family, Jesus himself,
yes,
the Holy Child.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's talk about the Holy Family itself. One might raise an objection at this point, Dr. Brighton, and say, it's not a family in the strictest sense of the term because Joseph is not the blood father of Jesus. How would you answer that?
Well, that's true because the Holy Spirit put the human seed into the womb of the virgin, from which then the Son of God became a real fleshly man. However, we know that they had other children after the birth of Jesus, but that's something else. But the role that Joseph played is the same role that we're to play as husbands. Now, today, a husband will put into the womb of his wife the seed from which the child will be created. But the mother is the co-creator with God, not the husband. What does the husband do? He shelters her, cares for her, protects her so that she can carry out that most holy function. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph cared for Mary. He nourished her, loved her, protected her, took care of her so that she could have that holy child. Now, you know, we don't usually make much of Joseph. We should make more of him. Matthew chapter 1 does, you know. And that can be a role model for us, each husband. You remember Joseph and Mary were betrothed to each other, but they couldn't come to live together as husband and wife until they were publicly married and marriage feast that the two families would have. But Joseph discovered that his betrothed was with child. You remember when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced to her that she would be the mother of the child? Well, she went down and visited Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and stayed there 6 months. Well, she comes back up to Nazareth, and it's quite apparent she's pregnant now, and Joseph sees that, and I'll ad-lib this from Matthew, when Matthew was Joseph was torn apart. Oh, no, what? Because he loved Mary. Now, he should have, according to Orthodox Judaism then, publicly denounced her to the rabbi in the synagogue and to the public around, and then she could have been, well, stoned to death. But since Rome did not let the Jews have that, she would have been ostracized out of society and denied a horrible life. But and Joseph didn't want to do that, but he loved her too. He said he loved her. He was in a quandary what to do. He thought, well, I'll just silently walk away from this. But God didn't let him, because God in a dream came to him, the angel Gabriel told him, no, that child is not from some sinful action. God put that child in. You become a proper husband and take care of that. So Joseph cared for Mary, and he took her reputation to himself. He protected her name. Don't you ever say anything about my wife and child. So we husbands should do the same thing.
Dr. Brighton, we were talking before about Joseph, and especially in the Gospel of Matthew. And so I open up to the first couple chapters of Matthew, and I notice, if I read this strictly from the level of the story, this is a story about Joseph primarily.
Yes.
Mary's not the main character here at this point in his account of the birth of Jesus, or even afterwards. It's God who speaks to Joseph.
Yes. Joseph was the head of the family. He was to be the head of Mary. And while God spoke through the angel Gabriel to Mary to announce to her that she would be the mother of the child, from then on, when they came together, husband and wife, God always spoke to Joseph and not to Mary, because Joseph was the head of the family, to care for the family, to lead the family, and so forth. And I'd like to ask this question, and then we'll reserve it until maybe next week sometime to answer. Who was the more important, Joseph or Mary? Who is the more important, the husband or the wife? Be careful how we answer that, right?
I don't even want to attempt that at this point.
Yeah.
I think we'll wait later in our conversation to address that. There's a quizzical or a curious verse, Matthew 1:19.
Yes.
Joseph is called a righteous man.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, that meant he believed in God as his creator, that he believed in God, that God would send the Son, the Messiah, to save himself and God's people and the whole human race. It also meant that he lived according to God's commandments. But in particular now, it meant towards Mary, when he discovered that Mary was pregnant, it meant that he could not marry her. It meant that he would have to denounce her so that he would not take part in her sin that he thought she had done, adultery, having a child out of wedlock. And to have any part of that would make that he would deny his God's righteousness that God had given to him. So to be righteous, it would mean that he would have to separate himself from Mary, not marry her, and actually denounce her and the sin that she had done. And that put him in a terrible quandary. He didn't want to do that because he loved her also.
And then God literally speaks to Joseph.
Through the angel, and a dream, yes, and told him that Mary had done no wrong, that the child was from God, and that he should marry and take care of her and so forth.
Now, I'm putting myself in Joseph's shoes for just a second.
Would you have believed that, huh?
Had I betrothed to a young woman, discovered that she was pregnant,
yes,
and then thinking, okay, I will do her a favor and put her away quietly without disgracing
her. That's what he was thinking of doing, yes.
And then I have a dream, and I'm disappointed, I'm heartbroken, I feel betrayed. And then I have a dream where an angel says to me, she's done no wrong, this is an immaculate conception.
By God.
By God, take her as your wife.
Yes.
I don't know if I would be able to believe that.
And probably he might have wrestled with that too, but that is a part of his right, that he's a righteous man. You see, that indicates that he lived closely with God in his life. He always prayed to God. He always consulted with God. God, should I do this? Direct me and everything. He depended upon God to direct his whole life, his thoughts, his actions. And so that when he had this dream, at first it startled him. It would have. We didn't say that in Matthew, but we can have startled him. Yet he believed it, because he had put his whole life in God's care and direction. So God is directing me again in a way that I even thought of, that I should marry Mary, and that is a holy child, and she did no wrong.
On this Christmas Eve, we're listening to a series that we did in 2001 with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton on the Holy Family. On the other side of the break, Joseph is perhaps overlooked because he is a silent character in the New Testament. He doesn't speak. We'll be right back.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During December, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Ministry Focus. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc. Be Strong and Courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The gentle Mary
third stanza of the hymn, The Angel Gabriel. We are listening to a series that we did in 2001 on the Holy Family, the first part of that series, with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton. Our conversation continued with him. I notice that Joseph is perhaps overlooked because in the New Testament Gospels, he doesn't speak. He doesn't have any lines.
Yes, and Mary sings that wonderful hymn, you know, when she went on to visit Elizabeth, you know, the Magnificat. Yes, but Joseph, no, in fact, Mary speaks to Jesus when he's 12 years old in Jerusalem. Why have you treated us this way, you know? And Joseph seems to be silent. That doesn't mean that he didn't lead his family in devotions or prayer, because God always spoke to him, you know, and not to Mary after they were married. But it means also that he was a very pious man. He didn't shove himself forward to be in a macho sense to try to dominate Mary and boss her. Rather, he was like a tender shepherd over her, like Jesus is a shepherd over you and his church, over you and all of his wonderful people. He tenderly loved Mary and cared for her and led her in a very pious, wonderful, shepherd-like way.
He also, at least as far as we can discern, is dead by the time Jesus begins his public ministry.
Yes, after Luke tells us in chapter 2 about when Jesus was 12 years old, and Mary and Joseph went down for the Passover and took the child Jesus with them, that we never hear of Joseph again, but we do hear of Mary, in fact, into the book of Acts, actually. So we think from that Joseph must have died sometime between the time that Jesus was 12 and when he began his own ministry. Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30.
All right, then let's turn our attention to Mary. And this is a little touchier because there are a lot of Christians, one might say the majority of Christians in the world, who elevate Mary to a place higher than Scripture does. How should we view Mary, especially in the context of marriage?
Yes. Let me first direct our attention to Revelation chapter 12, where John sees in a vision a woman. And this woman is clothed with the glory of God and of Christ. And she sits upon the moon, she dominates the earth. And the woman has a crown of 12 stars in her head. And no other personage in the whole Bible, not counting Jesus Christ, he's to one side, we can compare no one to him, but putting Jesus Christ to the side, there's no other person in the whole Bible that's so glorified as this woman. Not a Moses, not an Abraham, not a Paul, not a Peter, not a Joseph. And the woman is about to give birth to a child. Something, isn't it? And the dragon, who's the devil, Satan, is waiting for the child to be born to pounce on and destroy it. Of course, he didn't. The child's taken to heaven. That's the ascension of our Lord. Of course, the woman there on the surface is Mary. She gives birth to the child. That indicates the importance of Mary. You remember it's said of Mary and Luke that people would call her blessed from then on. She has a very prominent role. Through her, God brought his son into the world to be the Savior. So she is glorified more than any other person, not counting Jesus, of course. But then in chapter 12, Mary, the woman, symbolized first all the Old Testament bride of Christ, all of the Old Testament people of God. And when she gave birth to the child, she then symbolizes, models the whole church, all God's people today, the bride of Christ. So we can understand how people would elevate Mary. However, to do that at the expense of her being one with us in sin, she was a sinner like you and me. She was not immaculately conceived like the Roman Catholic Church is teaching. She was not did not ascend into heaven as the Roman Catholic Church teaches. That is an error. Nevertheless, we should honor her, but as the mother of our Lord, as the mother of God, if you're mother of the Son of God, his human flesh. We should honor her. In fact, we Protestants should honor her more, while Roman Catholics and others should not make her to be as holy as her Son is. She isn't. She's holy only in the sense that her Son died for her like he died for you and me.
And that brings us back around to one of the things we're talking about, which is we have already in this conversation referred to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus as the Holy Family. But I take from what you just said that Mary and Joseph are not holy in and of themselves. They have a holiness derived from their child.
Yes, and of course the child, of course God had given them this holiness by faith even before the child came, actually. But also within that, God gave them a holy work to do. See, every time a husband is faithful and a wife is faithful in this covenant they make with each other before God, that is a very holy estate. So the fact that God gives them, puts them into a holy estate within the greater holiness that he's given to them in Christ.
Now, I'm thinking about this family and what kind of family it must have been. It's hard to, you say, the model of a Christian family, the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and the baby. But we know so little about their family life. We know nothing. I dare say, save the 12-year-old account of the Jerusalem, and then we get so little there. We know that Jesus grew in stature and in knowledge and things like that, but we're not told about what the family life was like.
Well, putting Matthew 1 with Luke 2, putting it together, this family, we could tell how they always followed God. God was the power, the center of their life, his promises to them of his love and grace. And now, this family, the husband and wife, Mary and Joseph, knew this child was the Messiah. And we know from the New Testament, the Gospels, Mary and Joseph evidently did not talk publicly about this child to their own children they had normally after Jesus. They kept it to themselves. But we can just imagine how they shared it with each other. But then how Joseph and Mary prayed together and led Jesus in that prayer and also the following children. They had a very wonderful godly life that they lived together. We also know how Mary would nestle under Joseph. Joseph said, we have to go to Bethlehem. We have to go to Egypt. We have to go back to Palestine. I have to go back to Nazareth. And you can imagine, oh, no. Look, I'm moving all over. And look, I've got the child. Yes, my Lord, she would say to Joseph. And Joseph was her earthly Lord, but who served her. He was her earthly Lord, but a lordship through which he served her so that she could carry out the most holy thing God has ever given to a person to do. As Jesus served the church. If we were to ask Jesus and all of us, who is the more important when Jesus is here on earth? Jesus, who is the more important, you or your bride, your people? Joseph, Mary, who's the more important? You, who? We'll leave that off for a moment.
We're listening to the beginning of our 2001 series on the Holy Family with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton, Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and author of the Concordia Commentary on Revelation. This is a great commentary, by the way, and you would benefit from reading it. It takes the book of Revelation, which is admittedly a very difficult book, focuses it exactly where it is, focused on Christ, and then walks through it verse by verse and explains even the most difficult parts. You can find out more about the Concordia Commentary on Revelation by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Mary's virginity. Why does she have to be a virgin? Dr. Lewis Brighton will answer that question after this. Thank you for donating almost $70,000 to Issues Etc. in the past 3 weeks. With 2 weeks left in 2018, we're $35,000 short of projected expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does it mean to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? This great mystery is the thread that runs throughout the December issue of The Lutheran Witness. Some articles celebrate the birth of Jesus. Others explore the theological mystery of human embodiment. Still others do both at once, providing a holiday feast of reflection on Christ's incarnation. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Christmas Eve, we're beginning a series on the Holy Family from a 2001 interview we did, a series of interviews with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Our interview continued with Dr. Brighton. I asked about Mary's virginity. In particular, why does she need to be a virgin?
Well, Isaiah said that it would be a sign, Isaiah chapter 7, that a virgin would give birth. And the Messiah would be born from a virgin. That would be a sign to all who would pay attention that this is the Messiah. This is the Savior that God promised to send into the world to save the human race. But beyond that, it also is a tremendous pointer to the fact that God would bring this about, not man or woman. Mary didn't bring it about. And that's why she said to the angel in Luke 1, well, I don't know a man, how can I have a child? And Joseph didn't bring it about. This goes back actually to Abraham and Sarah, where they had no child. And now God promised to give them a child, and through that promised child, he would bless the human race, because the greater descendant of that child would be the Messiah. But they waited and waited and waited. In fact, they got so anxious, they thought, well, maybe Abraham thought, maybe I should adopt the child. I'll adopt my my steward, Eliezer. And God said, no, it'll be from your own body, and so forth. And then he waited and waited, and now it's getting beyond the point we could have a child anymore, and Sarah. Well, so Sarah gave Hagar, her slave girl, to Sarah, Abraham to have a child, and he did have a child. He said, no, that's not the child. Now Abraham's 100 years old, and Sarah's 90. Impossible, biologically speaking, to have a child. Hebrews 11 says that, for instance, but it couldn't. And then one day God came with two angels dressed like three human beings, and he came to tell Abraham's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sins. But then also the big thing, this time next year, 9 months from now, Sarah's going to have that son. And Sarah laughed. It's impossible. What's going to happen? They had the child. It was totally a child of faith, a miraculous child, as a miracle as much as Christ's virgin birth, but in a different context. And it was a child of faith. God brought it about completely. So that was a tremendous indicator that the Holy Child would come from Isaac, the greater descendant, would be totally action of God, therefore would be of a virgin. And Joseph did not bring it about, and Mary did not bring it about through any human action. Totally by faith. By faith, Abraham and Sarah had that child, and so Mary and Joseph, by faith, had the Christ child.
There are those who would say that virginity also has a moral component to it, and that for Mary to have then lost her virginity after the birth of Christ would have somehow tainted her in some way. Therefore, they hold to the perpetual virginity of Mary. Does Scripture teach that?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't say directly that she had or did not have children, but the fact that, let's say, if she did have children with Joseph in a natural way after the birth of Jesus, would make the marriage all the more sanctified and holy, because that's what God told a man and woman to do when they were married. Luke, in his description of Jesus' birth, he used the Greek word, the prototikos, that Jesus Christ was the prototikos. That meant that Jesus was the firstborn to open the womb, after which others followed. Now, if Luke wanted to emphasize that she stayed virgin, and Jesus was the first to open the womb, after which no one else followed, he would have used the word monogenes, but he didn't. He knew prototikos. So that from this we know that the brothers that are mentioned in Mark and Matthew and Luke, that they were half-brothers, biologically speaking, that is, real children of Mary and Joseph. So they had normal children after the birth, after the miraculous virgin birth of Jesus.
When we talk about the Holy Family as a model for Christian marriage and family, are we holding them up as merely a moral model to be emulated as moral examples? Is there more to it than that?
Well, they sure are moral examples, but it's much more than that. For instance, each husband and wife, as they pray to the Lord, O Lord, bless our marriage with the child, they should have total faith that God will do it in his own time and way, not just because we're having sex. That will be used. But when the child does come, that they are still to look upon it as a wonderful gift from God, which they really didn't earn or deserve because of our sinful state. But God loves us and gives us the child. And so we should be like Mary and Joseph, although the child, my children were not born through a virgin, yet to have that same awe over the creation of a child. It's miraculous, isn't it?
And these children are a trust from God. We acknowledge that they're a gift from God, that they don't really belong to us, but to God himself.
And we give them back to God, don't we?
Luther says, if God just gave children to parents just to feed them, keep them warm, and leave them an inheritance, he really wouldn't need mother or father. He could do that through some other agency. He's given these children to us that they may be brought up in the nurture and admonition of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and that we bring them up to in a godly way, that they believe in Jesus as a Savior and serve Him in their life too. Yes, very much so, and that's so important.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about a covenant and a mystery. Give us a very brief preview of what we'll be saying tomorrow in this series.
Well, marriage is a covenant that a man makes with a woman with a man. That is a picture, a metaphor, if you will, or a illustration of the covenant God has made with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Throughout the Bible, God always refers to His people as His bride and His Son as the groom. So that marriage, as a husband and wife that covenant, make promise themselves to remain faithful to each other, that becomes a picture of the greater promise God has made that He will remain faithful to us no matter what, through His Son, Jesus.
Dr. Brighton, thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
You have until December 31st, 1 week from today, to receive a recording of both of the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. This recording contains almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching featuring Anthony Esselin, Hans Feeney, Will Whedon, Hank Hanegraaff, Scott Klusendorf, Angus Manoj, Beverly Yonke, Ryan Anderson, John Warwick Montgomery, Chris Roseborough, Mark Kaltoff, and me. We'll send you an audio DVD or a thumb drive for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300 to Issues Etc. You can order online at issuesetc.org. You can also order a recording by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Be sure to write audio DVD or thumb drive in the memo line of your check. An audio recording of our spring and fall Making the Case conferences. In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Christmas Eve, Pastor David Peterson will join us. We're going to go through the Christmas Day propers, looking forward to Christmas Day. Now, Christmas Day is different than what you might expect for a Christmas Eve service. Christmas Eve, it's all Luke chapter 2 and the story of the angels and the shepherds and the mother and the child, and maybe even a little bit in the sermon about the wise men. But Christmas Day takes us into the eternal perspective of Christ's incarnation and His birth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1 is the gospel reading for Christmas Day, and we'll be looking forward to it on the other side of the break in hour two of Issues Etc. with Pastor David Peterson.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
And now, a message from Seavers Equipment and JCB of St. Louis. Well, it's that time of year again. The harvest is in, but field work continues. The grass has been mowed for the last time, but leaf burning, cleanup, groundwork, and landscaping remain. It's also the time of year to maintenance and or replace the equipment needed at home, on the farm, ranch, job site, or business. It's also the time for huge year-end savings and incentives on all Seavers brands, products, service, maintenance, and inspections. So contact your Seavers representative or visit a Seavers location today, including JCB of St. Louis. It's also the time of year to take the time to be with family and friends and to be thankful for all God's good gifts. It's Christmas time, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Merry Christmas to all from Seavers Equipment and JCB of St. Louis, SeaversEquipment.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, President of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Solway class, today your writing prompt is, what is Lutheran about classical education?
Hey, what does this mean?
I think it's that Aristotle was a Lutheran.
I thought it was that Lutheran classical was a palindrome.
What's a palindrome?
It's like a Persian castle with a retractable roof.
Life is confusing enough without crowdsourcing your questions. Get straight answers at an open house on Lutheran classical education at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, on January 13 at 1 o'clock p.m. Pastor Robert Paul of Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas, will speak on the question, what is Lutheran about classical education?
Wait, it was Virgil who was a Lutheran.
Come on out to St. Paul Lutheran in Hamel, Illinois, on January 13 at 1 o'clock p.m. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues, etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt. France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.